Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
Welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we have Khalid Birdsong of FriedChickenAndSushi.com. If you want to holler at us, if you got any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to break me off a call, 646-929-2037. Once again, the call-in number is 646-929-2037. And, of course, I know some of y'all just a tad bit too afraid to call in. And I understand that. But what you can do is you can email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and we'll read your question or your comments, whatever. dick@smoothdrama.com is the email. And for those of you who are listening live or watching me live on Smooth Drama TV, if you go into the chat room, either the Blog Talk chat room or the Smooth Drama TV chat room, and you post your questions or comments there, I will gladly read them there also. And last but not least, because I love y'all, and I'm sure like two of y'all love me, you can text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. To keep up with what we got happening here at Smooth Drama, any special events, whatnot. And also so you can stalk me and I can stalk you, as I say, week after week after week. Text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411 and we can get our stalk on. Now down to business. I don't know about y'all, but that ass-whooping that Manny Pacquiao gave to Antonio Margarito was hilarious. I mean, all the shit that he talked, the whole Manny Pacquiao's a bitch, Freddie Roach, he did the whole video, and then y'all saw it on 24/7, HBO 24/7. Well, not HBO 24/7. He actually did it on YouTube. He did a video where Freddie Roach, who's the manager of Manny Pacquiao, well, not manager, trainer, he has Parkinson's disease, like Muhammad Ali. And so he does a whole video mimicking him, mocking him. And it's cruel and unusual. So, suffice to say, Manny Pacquiao goes in with his bitch ass, according to Antonio Margarito, and gives Margarito the ass whooping of his life, breaks his orbital bone, I mean, just totally beats his ass. And I, for one, I was hoping that they wouldn't stop it. I was like, yeah, let him take that ass whooping. He's like, I'm a Mexican. I'm proud. Mexicans don't stop, blah, blah, blah. Whatever. You got your ass whooped. And you're not going to talk that shit no more. I'm guaranteeing. I'm going to predict that he's next fight, he's probably going to get knocked out cold because he's messed up. Totally. And I'm happy. Because dudes like that, one, he cheated. Everybody knows he cheated with the loaded gloves, whatnot. And so for him to get the ass whooping that he was intentionally trying to give out to other folks, it's like that whole poetic justice shit. Take it, take that ass whooping and love it. Bye-bye, Antonio Margarito. Hopefully we never see you ever again on TV. And if it is, hopefully somebody is stretching your ass out. All right. Now, speaking of, well, not stretching out, but I was reading in Huntsville, Alabama, you know, that tourist place in America where we all like to go and hang out and do our thing. Huntsville, Alabama is on the map now because they have the first adult product drive-through. Yeah, you heard that right. The first adult product drive-through. But what they're saying is, because it's adult products, they had been going through some problems as far as permits and whatnot. And they had to sue the state for over 10 years to reverse the ban on sex aid. So I guess in Alabama, they don't want you to have help having sex. So they banned that. So what they had to do is the people who go through there, go through the drive-through, whatnot, they have to actually have a prescription. And, I mean, they fill out the forms anonymously, but they actually have to say that it is a medical purpose to it, which is funny. For no reason whatsoever. You gotta explain why you need that. Medically, you need that vibrator. I just would want to just volunteer for one day just to read some of the terms that they come up with. Just, hey, I can't get it up, itis or whatever. My man ain't good enough, itis. I mean, what do you put down anyway? I just think it's funny. Good old Huntsville, Alabama. The place to be. So, you know, if you down in Alabama, go down there to Pleasures in Huntsville. They got you. Care you is in his drive thru. You don't even have to stop. Funny. Top of it, the fact that it's the whole medicinal thing, because for some reason, Arizona has medicinal marijuana, but California didn't. I can't get past that. I guess everybody in Arizona who smoked decided we was not going to be like California and just we going to vote that day. I mean, maybe more people smoke weed in Arizona than they do in Alabama. I mean, the fact that it was like they won by 4,000 votes, and the fact that over 800,000 people showed up to vote was interesting, to say the least. Well, they actually voted for, because I think it was like 50-49. And you know, it was funny to hear it. Arizona, not California. Arizona. I mean, I ain't even think they like having fun in Arizona, but I guess maybe just Arizona just known for not liking Mexicans and they like everything else. All right. That, and speaking of not liking anybody else, the TSA scandal where everybody's all up in arms. Oh, they're gonna do spot checks on us. They're gonna see us naked. And I'm like, look, what is the big deal? Look, I mean, is it a big deal because you think people want to see your stuff? I mean, the one guy talking about don't touch my junk. It's like, I'm sure that wasn't what that guard was thinking about when he got up this morning, that he was going to be rubbing up against your fat ass thighs. I'm just saying, you know, that's part of it. unfortunately, there was a dude who had a bomb in his drawers. So they got to check that shit and get over it. It ain't going to hurt. And if somebody just looking at the x-ray, look, trust me, the majority of the people who are sitting up there, to put it lightly, saying, oh, no, I shouldn't be checked, and I don't want to be frisked and patted down and whatnot. I mean, most of y'all, nobody don't want to see y'all naked. Trust me. It's funny because a lot of people were talking about, I made a joke about having that job and it'd be cool to have that job, but it'd probably be cool like 1% of the time. The other 99% of the time, it's probably not cool. Just saying. And the 99% is you people that are out there complaining that you have to go through the little scanner and they can see how small you are or how unattractive you are naked. Hey, comes with, if it's that bad for you, there's Amtrak and Greyhound. You don't have to get on the plane. Especially if I'm in the airport and you causing a big-ass ruckus and I'm going to be late for my plane because your ass is all whole. No, I don't want. Fuck that. Get your ass out the line. And don't worry about people because, Lord knows, I don't want to see you naked, and I'm sure the people that's checking don't want to see you naked or want to hear your mouth for that matter. Look, just walk through the thing and get on the damn plane. Shut up. On that note, we're going to go on a break here. We're going to play one of my old school favorite rappers. It's the GZA, the Paper Plate. Off the mixtape, the B Files.
You ever seen someone who rolled a Mayweather? Rhyme like Ricky Hatton, smash whatever you throw, 1,000 is what I'm batting. Got a few hooks with no jabs, took them out to corn dog books and notepads. I get it, you got rich robbing those in the industry. Bite off this one, steal from your enemy. Never try to play the hottest one out your camp. You might step off and take half the juice from your amp. Enough to make you vogue on the cover of GQ. Only missing the sheer blouse, homie, you see through. Stop sipping on that Formula 50. They want heat, I give it to them. Burnt and crispy, rhyme too short to box with God. So stretch it, especially these overrated rap setting fetches. I told you if I rain, there'll be an eternal drizzle. Woodwork strips being chipped, sharp chisels. One verse shatter your spine and crush your spirit. No matter what, you still window shop for lyrics. If you's a pimp, put chicks on the stroll. And if those soldiers, give them bigger guns to hold. Who shot ya? You don't have enough on your roster. You move like a fed, but you talk like a mobster. That yeah, yo, you sling it, please abort it. Too many cuts on it, coke heads, they won't snort it. Spray the flea unit with pesticides. You can get your best ghost riders, get them all to testify. Have you ever been stung by 1,000 hornets? 500 killer bees, buzzing and really on it. Ripped the Cuban links and cut with liquid swords. Choked by Iron Man till we crush your vocal cords. You ain't nothing but a pig in a blanket. Hog head, the deadliest food at the banquet. All this rap crap that's trapped in your colon only means get rid of the wax. You're holing. Street tube dudes, stay out the candy shop. You ain't got a handcuff and see the panties drop. A few cats looking for a rat to achieve. Got something to pitch, they all swing a bat with ease. Get your ankles broke by doing your two-step. Leave a thank you note for the crutches to woo left. Proactive rap, you know they put drug in the cream. You hallucinate, you see Kanye in your dream. And yo, I don't smoke dust, I dust off smoky in the bandits with the brush stroke off the canvas. I walk on your gators and lizards. Raise the links that was killed for your minks. You be rocking in blizzards. Wanna be cocked till you walk the D block and get a transfer. Spread your wings like peacocks. I was an MC when you was in Nutville. On a world tour, you was getting your guts filled. 10 years of singing, but I flow like I'm 21. Straight from Medina, with the mass of many sons. I'm supernova, give off gamma ray bursts. And I'll finish this, only cause I let off first. What's up?
Together you got it.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was GZA the paper plate off his mixtape, or off the Wu-Tang mixtape album, The B-Files. I don't know who he was dissing. Well, I do know who he was dissing. It's kind of nice. I like diss records. Anyway, on that note, we're going to get my man Khalid on the phone. We're going to talk a little bit about fried chicken and sushi. Or something like that. Five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Hello?
Mr. Birdsong, how you doing?
Good, good. How you doing, Dick?
All right. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All right. Now, I know the answer to this question, but the people out here listening don't know. Why fried chicken and sushi?
That's gonna be the question. But the answer, I mean, obviously it's about black man that moves to Japan, and he has to deal with, of course, being different. It's like most people that are American go over there. But you know, I chose fried chicken because I guess that's kind of the stereotypical thing you think about, the food you think about when you think about black folks.
What? Then, black people like chicken? What?
Listen, fried chicken, that's crazy. I know. But still, though, that's kind of what I was thinking about. But actually, it comes from when I was living in Japan, and my wife and I would eat actually fried chicken and sushi, and I thought that it was funny that she's Japanese and I'm black, and here we go eating some KFC fried chicken and sushi together, and it actually tastes good, and
yeah,
it actually can work together. So.
Yeah, I can't see that as one of my choices, fried chicken and sushi.
I'm telling you, but it's good, man. You got to try it.
I'll take your word for it, man. I will take your word for it. Now, tell me, what's up with the comic strip? What made you want to do it?
Well, you know, I was thinking about it when I was living in Japan. I mean, I am a cartoonist. I've never really had an experience enough, you know, that I want to do it based on my life. But living in Japan, there were just so many times where I was thinking, this is too funny, or this is just too strange, or the whole thing just made me feel like I need to create something to kind of talk about my experiences there. So I think that's what really inspired me just when I was living there. It took a couple of years for me to get it together and figure out how to do it. You know, I was going to do it as a comic book series, and it wasn't supposed to be something humorous, but then I thought maybe it would work better like this, and I can put it online and show it to people, and, you know, it's working out now. Yeah.
Well, I know you said you did that, and I was reading in your bio, you actually had named it something else, and you had entered it into a comic book challenge. So what made you change that up? Just didn't want to go the whole traditional comic book route?
Yeah, I didn't. You know, I just feel like there's a kind of a limited audience for comic books, and you know, I just really think that this idea can reach all people. So you hear comic book and people say, oh, I don't read comic books. But you hear comic strips, you say, oh, like a newspaper comic strip. And you know, people say, oh, great, I love comic strips. I love to laugh. So I decided to change it, you know, and make it this way, and it's actually getting a lot more attention this way. And I think it works better in this format. So, yeah, just comic books. I love comic books, and I love making them. But for this story, I just think it works better as a strip.
Okay. So tell us about some of the characters in the story. I as a subscriber, I know a little bit about it. I get your strip every couple of days.
Thank you. Yeah, we're updating on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you're kind of following the adventures of Carl. He's the main character, the tall black man, and it's kind of at the beginning, and it's moving slowly. I'm taking my time. I want to do this for many, many years. So it's starting off with him basically moving to Japan to teach English to the Osaka area, And it's starting off, he's not even teaching yet so far in the comic strip. He's just getting ready. And so it basically talks about him going there and meeting all kinds of people. Now, he's one of the main characters, but then we also have his best friend, Jay. And Jay is a friend that also wanted to be in the same teaching program, but he unfortunately didn't make it in. And so, you know, Carl is always talking to Jay on the phone about his experiences and the things that he's been through. And so he's the main character, and Jay will continue to be in there and play an even more important role as we go along. So he's also a main character. And then we have Tanuki, who just showed up, and Tanuki is a kind of a raccoon spirit that's pretty famous in Japan. You see statues of them everywhere, and, you know, they're kind of mischievous characters and bring good luck and money and all of that. And he is kind of a character that Carl sees. We're not sure if he's a real kind of spirit or if he's just a figment of Carl's imagination, but he's also a main character that's kind of around to annoy Carl.
Well, you know, when I saw that and I read that, I immediately thought, for some strange reason, when Tom Hanks was talking to that volleyball.
That's exactly what it is, man. I'm telling you. Now, that's one thing that when you're in Japan, especially where I was and where Carl is, you know, the small town by the mountains, no other real Americans or anyone else that speaks English, you know, fluently around, you feel very isolated. You know, if you don't speak the language, you don't know what's going on. So, you know, it was very easy to get kind of lost in my own imagination and my own head. So I'm hoping that people will get that, that they'll say, okay, well, you know, you've got this guy, maybe he's so lonely, so isolated that he's starting to see things. He needs a friend, so he sees it. So, yeah, so he's kind of similar to the volleyball in, you know, in Tom Hanks' movie, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, like, he talking to a statue.
Exactly. So you're supposed to start questioning Carl, you know, sanity. Like, wait a minute now, is he that desperate? Come on.
And I actually thought that it was well done. You know, because there's something to be said about just doing something and being yourself with it, and you can have fun with yourself in that. And I think a lot of people, you know, take themselves too seriously, and I can tell in your work you don't take yourself too seriously.
No, I can't. And, you know, one thing I had to get used to when I was living in Japan is just really just looking like a fool on a regular basis. You know, always making mistakes, you know, not saying the right thing, not doing the right thing, not knowing where I'm going, not understanding people, feeling awkward. Although that's a part of the experience when you live in any other country, but especially in, you know, in a country like Japan where things can be so different. So, you know, I had to kind of learn to take things a little lighter and laugh at myself, and now I'm kind of reliving it through this comic strip.
All right. Now, I'm looking you up, whatnot. I saw your Tales of Trattoria, the Young Bloods, and I checked that out. That was a really good story, man.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm still working on getting that one printed into a comic. Hopefully in the next year I can get that all together. It's over 200 pages, and it's mainly a vampire comic, but, you know, it's like vampire gangs in the city. It was a lot of fun, but it took several years to complete. A pretty major project, and, you know, fun but a little bit dark. So I'm happy to be working on something a little lighter now.
Yeah. Now, I know that it was dark, but it was, I mean, it was the vampire thing, but I thought it was a different take on it. It was
right.
It was somewhere where it hadn't been taken. So on that note, I have to commend you for your originality there.
Well, I appreciate it. I was really trying to go for something with, first of all, where there's some black people. So, you know, I'm trying to do things where you don't normally see black characters. And
yeah.
I just don't usually see, you know, black characters in as vampires in that sort of way, where you're in a world where everyone's living at night and, you know, it's just in the vampire gangs and there are no guns in there or anything like that. I mean, the threat is all about the fact that they're vampires, and in this one, Practical Sushi, a black man in Japan. So I just want to try to do things that I wish I could see out there, and I just don't.
Well, I mean, but that's the point. You put it out there. You know, that's what it's all about when you talk about being an independent creator, whatnot. You see there's a void and you fill the void. And
right.
telling stories from your perspective is always a good thing because that's something that is lacking.
That's true. I agree, man. That's what I gotta do. So I'm glad. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that was one of my joys in going to when I met you at the Alternative Press Expo, seeing independent creators with different visions, not just the streamlined visions that are out there put out by the major Disney and Time Warner,
right.
you know, who own everything and probably
everything.
Steal your idea right now.
Well. I'm not even worried about that. You know, that whole stealing your idea. So you can steal an idea, but you can't really execute it the same way. So
right.
anybody can do a comic about someone living in another country or in Japan, but they're not gonna have the art style that I have. They're not gonna have the perspective on things that I have. So yeah, it can never be the same exact thing.
Right. Now.
Yeah.
Now I know that you're an art teacher also.
I sure am. Yeah.
Yeah, tell us about you as the art teacher.
Well, you know, I mean that's also what I love to do. I have a passion for teaching. So I teach kindergarten through sixth grade art, and it's just wonderful. I mean, of course, I'm teaching them more than comics and cartoons. It's all about, you know, from painting, fine art, and illustration, and that's what I do on a daily basis. You know, I've been teaching in general for about 11 years now, and I really do love it. You know, it's I love working with kids, and it's kind of magical watching what they can do. And so it's great, and it also gives me a nice schedule for working on my own comics and cartoons. But yeah, I feel pretty lucky to be able to have a passion for teaching and also a passion for comics and be able to do both of those at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I envy you. You know, as a fellow comic lover myself, you know, to be able to be in that environment, because I'm sure that environment keeps your creative juices flowing because you're around creativity at all times.
Yep, that's for sure. That's wonderful.
All right. So you got any other upcoming projects, anything else on the docket? I know you talked about having Youngbloods as a graphic novel put together out there. You got anything else? You plan on doing any animations, cartoons, whatnot?
Not really. You know what? Right now, the focus is really on Fried Chicken and Sushi and just making it the best comic strip that I can, because it's kind of a new thing for me to do a humorous comic strip, because I'm used to longer stories and something that's not funny. This is a different thing for me. So I'm really focusing on this, and then focusing on printing up Youngbloods and doing that. But no, I don't have anything else down the line in the near future. You know, I really love just making comics. So I'm just going to try to do the best that I can with that right now.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, that's how the Boondocks and, of course, Charlie Brown and all the other comic strips that end up becoming movies, cartoons, whatever. So I look forward to you blossoming and being that next breakout star.
Well, thank you. You know, I really would love to go down there, you know, in the future, if I think the future becomes popular and they want to do a movie or a television series or some kind of animation, hey, I'm definitely not against that. I think it would be great. But it's right now it seems so hard for me to believe. You know, it seems like it's so different of an idea, you know, where you think about, okay, there's this black man and he's living in Japan and he's got some kind of raccoon in his house and he's teaching people. You know, it's just, I wonder if people can embrace it. You know, is it just too far-fetched? I mean, now, obviously, we have a black president, so I guess some things seem, you know, possible, but I just wonder sometimes, like, hopefully down as the years go by, it will be something where people go, like, yeah, you know, I can see that.
I don't necessarily see it as far-fetched. I mean, when we look at it, there's something different. I mean, people watch a sponge and his crab friends. I mean, Barney the dinosaur was famous.
Oh my gosh, that's right.
I mean, you know, you think about Charlie Brown, the guy who can never get an out and can never kick the football. He's an icon. So why can't a black man who talks to a raccoon that may or may not be real jump off?
That's true. That's true. I agree. I think you're right. You just never know. And I feel that way, too. You really don't. But what I'm saying is just it's hard for me to imagine right now because I'm just like, wow, really? And that would be really something. I can see it hitting off as a comic strip. But people see it and say, oh, that's a drawing. Yeah, that's good. So that's something that is not real. It's drawn. But if you do a live-action movie, I wonder if it's a different kind of thing. So it's, you know, I want to get more and more into believing it, but maybe as I continue this comic strip along and it continues to come more and more to life, it'll be a lot easier for me to imagine it, you know, in other ways.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I seen it instantly. It's different. You know, because right now everything is about that, you know, the Simpsons, Family Guy, all of them is the whole family that's crazy, and they going off on these offbeat parodies and doing all this crazy stuff. And I'm like, it's kind of old and tired because there are like 14 to 15 of those.
Yeah.
And once again, how many black men talk to raccoons on TV?
That's true. And one thing I noticed, that, I mean, I know that a lot of our shows here, things that we're into, have to do with, you know, being a family or living in America, the things we go through in America. But one thing that I'm interested in that I don't see much, you know, are TV shows or comics about people going to other countries. It doesn't have to be Japan. It could be some other country, whether it's comedy or realistic. You know, I think that could be something that could be interesting as, well, I mean, we're already a pretty international country. So yeah, I think it would be great to see more work like that. You know, maybe Practic and the Sushi can kind of start that trend going where we're doing more stories about people in other countries.
All right. I'm down with you. Now tell the people where they can find you at.
All right, well, you know, I'm at friedchickenandsushi.com. That's where I am. And you know, you can read the comic there, you can find out about all the characters. I've got my little Twitter feed up there on the site, and you can also connect to me on Facebook and become a fan of the comic, and it's all there. FriedChickenAndSushi.com. It's long. FriedChickenAndSushi.com.
Yes, and maybe you'll even go to the store and try it. Just go to KFC and then go to the sushi spot and make it happen. I don't know.
You should do it. You should go there to try it out because it's really, really good.
I'm not big on sushi, man. I like all my shit burnt. You know.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, they have some. You can get some cooked stuff on sushi too. It's all right.
Well, I'll think about it. If I eat it, I'll call you up. Like I'm eating it right now. I even take the video and hook it up.
Just, well, I think you should give a try. You know, if people can do chicken and waffles, they can do fried chicken.
I can't do chicken and waffles. I don't get it.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't like mixing my salt and my sweets together. It's just alien to me.
Okay.
I could be missing something, but I don't know.
But I think that's an interesting point that you're making, though. It's kind of like, I think that's why hopefully the title works well, because to get people thinking, of course, they start thinking about, you know, as far as the comic is concerned and about kind of international relations, but also they can think about their own taste and, you know, what could I really do it? You know, another thing with fried chicken and sushi is like, could I go to another country like Japan and live? Would it mix well? Could I handle it? You know, and just people are different. Some people can do it, some people can't.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing about thinking outside the box. We got to think outside the box because when you're stuck up in that same box, you know, Ricochet will kill you.
Right.
True.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's the way I felt. Yeah, I mean, I understand when I wanted to go and live in Japan, it was interesting. I was getting kind of, I don't want to say I love America, but I was kind of getting tired of certain things. You know, it was kind of like Bush just got in the office and we were, you know, it was after 9/11 and all these crazy things were happening in this country. And I think I needed a break, you know, from it and just wanted to try something else and see. And I've always been interested in Japanese culture and of course, their comics and anime, but I wanted to also learn how to speak Japanese, and it's really tough to do that in the States. So it's just I had all these reasons, but I think the underlying thing was I just wanted to try a new experience, and that really fit the bill at the time. And I think that a lot of people may have that feeling that they're too afraid to do it for whatever reason, or, you know, they just can't take the jump to go there. So I don't know. Maybe this comic will give people a push.
Well, let me ask you this last question before I let you go here. As an independent creator, where do you see the whole comic medium going? You know, with the internet becoming more prominent and it giving the independent like yourself more opportunity, whereas in the past someone like you can be marginalized, where now you have equal access like the big companies. Where do you see it going?
Well, you know, I mean, I think what you're saying is right on the internet. It's just amazing to watch how far it's come just in the past 10 years or so and what's possible. I think that there's going to be more comics online. There already are a lot now, but I think it's going to keep moving that way. I don't believe that print comics are going to totally die. I just think that there are just going to be less of them, you know, and the really good ones are the ones that are going to stay. But I think a lot of them are going to definitely move online. I mean, I don't know how popular they're going to become, but I can say that with all of the things that we have, like the iPad, and there's all these different ways that we can read anything online now, I would think that that would be where it's all going, because it's just so easy to get a hold of no matter where you are in the world. And so I think that that's where it's going to move, because your audience, like you're saying, you know, your audience is just a lot bigger. So you can find the people that like the stuff that you want to create a lot easier. Whereas before, if it wasn't in the bookstore, well, you're out of luck. And, you know, but now these people can find you. And if they like Japan and they like comedy, well, it's a lot easier for them to find my comic strip than if it were just, you know, in a book. So yeah, I think it's going to keep going that way. And I don't know if it's going to stay the same, if it's going to be that it's this website kind of thing where you just go on to the website, or if it's going to change into something else where it's a bunch of, I don't know, apps that you could do with comics in them. But I still think that a lot of it's going to be on the web.
Well, no, I agree with you in that sense that I don't think the print is going to go away. And as someone who goes to comic book shops, it seems there's more comics in there than it used to be. I mean, I know we say that they're dying out, but shit, when I go in there, it's like, damn, there's a lot of choices. Now, of course, there's a lot of choices online.
Yeah, but, you know, are those comics that you read? I mean, when I go into the comic shop and I go and I walk around and look at the comics, you know, there's tons of comics, but I walk out of there with like two or three comics, okay? Because most of those, I'm just like, I don't want to read it. I mean, no offense, I'm very impressed with people that are artists and have great art and all that, but it's just basically I really don't really find that much that interests me. And so do you walk out of the comic shop and you have actual stuff there?
I mean, I'm 3 or 4, and I mean, I used to be a 10 or 11 kind of guy, but like you, I mean, there's some stuff that after a while, it is kind of dull. And I know over the years I've turned to more independence, because you look for a new vision instead of the same old every time.
Right. That's true. Yeah. And I feel like there's just not enough. There's not enough young kids. So I hope that's what we can do. We can get some more younger readers into comics, and And that's what I'm trying to hopefully do, you know, make some more comics for all ages so that we can get younger kids. Because once we get too old for them, I mean, who's going to, you know, who's going to read them? So I think that anything that you're going to be doing, it's important to try to think about, you know, a wider audience, I guess, as far as age groups go. Because,
right.
you know, if you can grab somebody when they're younger and they can become a fan and stay a fan until they become an adult, then, you know, you've cultivated a true fan for life. And a lot of us comic book folks are, you know, we're not going to be around forever, and a lot of kids aren't reading them.
Right. Well, I think that's why you're kind of double threat, because you're not only a creator, but you're an inspirer as a teacher also. I mean, because I think what has to happen is kids have to be inspired to cultivate their imagination.
That's true.
Literally and figuratively speaking. And so,
yeah.
You know, as someone who actually teaches the art, and you play a big part, and someone who's actually doing it, the kids can look up to you and say, yeah, I can do that too.
That's true. That's true. Thank you. That's
so,
true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's something that I do feel. You know, I noticed that, and even I teach a cartooning class. You know, I teach a cartooning class after school. It's kind of a separate thing that I do, and it's always popular. You know, kids love learning how to draw comics and cartoons, and even if they don't read comics regularly, they still, they want to draw. They want to be a part of that. And so you're right, and it is kind of uplifting to them, and it's fun to kind of see what they create.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note, I want to thank you for coming on the show. And one more time, tell the people where they can find you again.
www.friedchickenandsushi.com. There it is.
All right. Well,
thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Hey, and anytime you want to come back, you got anything happening, feel free.
Thank you, Dick. I'll definitely do that. Thank you so much. And, yeah, I appreciate it.
All right. You take care, bro.
All right. You too. Thank you.
All right. Peace.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That was Khalid Birdsong of FriedChickenAndSushi.com. Y'all should check it out. I mean, it's a nice site, and I mean, it's something different, you know, and that's the thing that we talked about here. We need a little more diversity. Doing something different aside from the whole, you know, shoot 'em up, bang, bang. That's kind of old dough. Fried chicken and sushi. I don't know if I'm going to try it unless I get some. I mean, is there some sushi that's really burnt? Yeah, I can. Okay. On that note, we're going to take a commercial song break here. I'm going to dig back in the crates, and we're going to go to my man Redhead Kingpin. Y'all might not remember this, but I do. A love thing, because you know me. I'm part of the love movement.
I'm not a fan. So many crowds are jumped up in the lab, thinking they blessed with the gift of yeah, but it's a little more than that. The next thing you know, George Bush don't wanna rap. Manufactured MCs, please. It's usually women at the record company sees, and then they promise them a record deal. Put them on a shelf with sex appeal? No, that ain't the righteous plan. No, being a hope for the man, then this girl MCs that really wanna swing, but for them and their crew, it's a true love thing.
Word.
My right hand man, Mo, shooting to the girls like my name was Rambo. Who you slid over this short slim booty guy? side. The body was like, pow. Fixed my gear, so I'm up to the floor. Stole them notes, which is a bigger, bigger bar. Jumped and walked up to my mambo. Act for the life, then a date for the night. Well, I'm 18, this girl is 22. But 8 is just a number when it comes to this crew. People always ask the show, what's the plan? We love to work it out, but you gotta understand that it's a love thing. And the beat goes on, you know, and the beat goes on, you know, and the beat goes on, you know. My man Tony Rome rocked the house center. L.A. Boss rocked the house center. My man Kwame rocked the house center. The FBI rocked the house. Check it. Rally, rally, go, never caught up in a rut. Dancing with the girls with the gigantic butt. Sitting on a different dance, baby, doing with the groove like a movie. Check and get you in a different state of mentality. Even people in Cali rocking with the REG and the FBI crewing. You know what you're doing, a rat shot showing. Yo, should I say ruin the party? We rock the mic, right? We gotta go with us tonight. So we got the tools for fools to make cheese. So everybody chill, and would you please keep on rocking and don't lose the strength. But for me and my crew, it's the truth. But for me and my crew, it's the truth.
That don't make sense because I want to draw a line in the sand, make a distinction about shit that don't make sense and shit that does make sense. And Glenn Beck, y'all know anything he say is not going to make sense unless you don't make sense yourself. But, hey, whatever. Anyway, Glenn Beck came out and said that the government is going to stage a false flag terror to discredit the opposition, which would be him and people who think like him, basically saying that the Obama administration are going to stage a false event that will blame everything like an Oklahoma City bombing. I know I touched on this earlier, but just to elaborate on it, you know, they're saying that they're going to say that quote unquote right wing nuts they're going to stage a right wing nut terror attack, and that's how they're going to stop quote unquote the right wing who are taking this country back, i.e. the Tea Party, Coffee Party, whatever party, whichever one you want, decaf, I don't know. Anyway, they're supposedly, that's what the government is going to do. And I'm like, well, that kind of has happened, been happening, and I don't make any distinctions. I don't see the difference, really. I know some folks say you tripping. You know, there's a difference between a liberal and a conservative, but every time I see measures voted, whatnot, I never see the difference between the two of them. Never have, never will. I'm going to just put it out there and say it. I don't see the difference. they all look and sound and vote the same. And so when and people say Fox News, there's a difference between Fox News and MSNBC and the whole NPR and the radio stations, Clear Channel, that and all the other people who talk like that. Like there's a big difference, but I'm going to guess, and I'm not even going to guess, fuck it. Poor people think of all them the same. Y'all have money and can buy and have health care, and poor people don't. I don't think they really make a distinction. Y'all look the same to them. Well-to-do. And they are not to do. So your party affiliation kind of doesn't make sense. And when you talk about the government staging false events to shape the population's opinion, shit, we done been there, done that. I mean, if we're to believe conspiracy theorists, isn't that kind of what happened with French Revolution, World War One, World War Two? I mean, some folks say World War Three. You know, so you 9/11. Just saying. There are some people, I may be part of them, who believe that these things were staged and that it's real easy to put this stuff out there and shape people's opinions and enact laws that take people's freedoms away. No mystery there. And when we talked about that earlier, you know, people are all in arms because now they can be seen naked and they can be frisked and all this other stuff, and they make a big deal out of it. Hey, that's what happens when you screaming for freedom, but you're screaming to be protected and you don't mind your freedoms being taken away. This kind of shit happens. Can't complain about it. Just got to deal with it. And that's kind of where we're going. So when people like this Glenn Beck guy, I mean, I never watched these shows. You know, I mean, maybe you can get through like 5-10 minutes. Because I look at it no different than I looked at Jerry Springer or I forgot what's the other guy that's on TV that's unveiling who's the real baby mama and the real baby daddy every day on the talk shows, whatnot. I mean, they're all the same. Sensationalism, rile a whole bunch of unintelligent people up, and bam, you got a hit show. The dumber you sound, the more people are on your job. That's kind of what happens here, which is the reason why I talk about stupid people in the first place, because I don't understand it. I mean, case in point, there's a study here where they did research which states that less attractive fish have better sperm. You know, they did research which revealed that colorful, flamboyant looking males invest in their appearance at the expense of their sperm quality. Now, the funny thing about that statement is, why would you be investigating the sperm of pretty fish in ugly fish? That's just stupid shit. I mean, don't get me wrong. If somebody offered me a bunch of money to do the stupid research, I would do it. I'd laugh all the way to the bank. But the fact that somebody thought that, yeah, you know what? If an ugly fish has better sperm, I mean, do you translate that to humans? That's what you're trying to make the correlation. Ugly men are more potent than handsome men. Is it relevant? No, and doesn't really matter what I say, because somebody got paid to do that study. And like I said, I'm in the wrong business, because I need to be in the business of doing these dumbass surveys. Sort of like there's a research which says that crickets with huge testicles are the clue to promiscuous mating. Like if a cricket, and they use the bush cricket species, say if this species has 14, they have a certain percentage of their body is testicles, then that means they do a lot of dating. So, I mean, does that mean that if a man has huge balls, he has a lot of women? And if he has small balls, he's the guy for you? I mean, what? Stupid shit. Why am I talking about it? I have no idea. But I'm talking about it because somebody got paid to do that. And it wasn't me. And I think it's retarded. Last but not least on the retarded list, and this is not research, this is something that was actual fact. My favorite state of Florida here, there was a man who attempted to dump urine on his pregnant wife. He was a guy who aggravated battery and felony charges after he beat his wife, pee on her. The thing is, not just the fact. I mean, it's abominable that the man was putting his hands on a woman, but the fact that, you know, he had a bucket of pee that he keeps handy to throw on her, it's some insane shit. Which is, I mean, who does that kind of shit? Who keeps a bucket of pee just chilling? Like, you know what? You know I got this piss over here. Don't act stupid. I mean, that's basically, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one that finds this kind of shit funny. And the fact that somebody in Florida who dragged his woman to the woods and wrestled her, and he had a bucket of pee with him, like, I'm going to pour this. I mean, I don't know. Most normal folks would just use the toilet and not keep a bucket of pee. And the fact that he had a bucket of pee is the point that I'm just stuck on. Anyway, and the fact that he's beating on his woman, well, you should never beat on your woman. It's just, you're just not manly. And, of course, he'll be the first one to cry when he get in jail and there's a dude smacking shit out of him. But on that note, well, thank y'all for listening. And while I'm thanking y'all for listening, I want to give a shout out to one of my cousin Ebony, who's having an issue with a man domestically, and which is one of the reasons why I always harp on that, because, you know, I think it's a damn shame that people don't know how, if you can't get along with somebody, you shouldn't put your hands on them, not in that way. It's just, you're not even a fucking human being when you do that type of shit. You know, something's wrong with you. Something mentally wrong with you. I ain't even going to say nothing about you don't like your mom or whatnot. I think you don't like yourself when you can say you care for somebody but put your hands on them. On that note, I want to say thank my man Khalid Birdsong of FriedChickenAndSushi.com for coming on the show. Also, I want to thank y'all for listening. I'm Dick Hugger. It's Smooth Drama. And I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.